So what a great message in that hymn, Trusting Jesus. We have some announcements this morning. So our Wednesday night Bible study will be meeting this Wednesday at 7 p.m. We're going to continue looking at people in the Bible and what we can learn from them. And this week we'll be looking at the life of Philip. So there are some handout sheets on the back podium with some scripture and questions to prepare for the study for Wednesday. So please, even if you can't come Wednesday, take a handout sheet and you can do the questions and the study on your own if you like. Continue to pray for God's leading in the search for a pastor. So we have an applicant that we met with yesterday, the committee met with yesterday, and so we're going to be able to give an update on that in the following next few weeks. But just keep that in your prayers at this time. Our speaker next Sunday will be Mr. James Krasinkovich, so we look forward to having him back next week to preach for us. And today we're so thrilled to have Mr. Eric Jonathan with us. He was here a few months ago, and it was such a nice pleasure to have him, so we're so glad to have him back today. And I'm so glad my singer came along. So we're going to, usually I follow the announcements with the prayer, but we're going to sing one more song and then have the prayer and then sing the other two songs just to split up the songs today. So we're just going to start with another praise song, You Never Let Go. So you can stand if you're able as we sing You Never Let Go. We thank you so much that you never let go of us, that you are in control. And no matter what circumstances or difficulties we face, Lord, you are there to hold us and to keep us in the palm of your hand. Lord, we just thank you for your presence and that we have no reason to fear, no matter what the circumstances. And Lord, as we look around this world and we see the turmoil in this world and that can cause fear in the things that are happening in our world, and Lord, we just know that we're safe. You have us. If we are believers and have accepted Jesus as our Savior, then we have no reason to fear whatsoever, that you are our God, our protector, our Savior, our friend. Lord, there's so many passages in the Bible that give you so many different titles and names, and Lord, we know we can put our complete and total faith in you. Lord, we thank you for the ability to come and worship this morning. Lord, we thank you for Eric and the message that you've placed on his heart this morning to share with us. Lord, we thank you for just this church and this community and the fact that we can come and worship you. And Lord, we just know that we've faithfully been continuing to worship and serve in this place without a pastor. And Lord, we just know that we need a pastor here, and we know that you can orchestrate that to happen. So, Lord, we just continue to pray for your leading and direction in the person that we look for and the person that we choose to lead this church family here. Lord, we thank you for each person in our church family, and we just pray for the needs in our congregation. We pray for anybody that's looking for work currently, for anybody that is having any health situation, Lord. You know each and every concern of each and every individual, and we can bring these cares and concerns before your feet. Lord, we know that you hear our prayers and that you answer them. And Lord, we just know that there's concerns and cares that people have that they may not even be willing to share. But Lord, you know the needs, you know the cares, you know the health issues. Nothing is hidden from you. So Lord, we lay all of these concerns at your feet. Lord, we do pray for your continued presence with us as we serve in this community. Lord, we pray for the people in this community. We know that there's difficulties with so many people in this time with looking for work, with the cost of things being increasing and not having enough funds. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of our food bank that we can help people in need within our community. But Lord, we just pray that you will meet needs wherever that is, whether it's physical or spiritual, that you will give people in this neighborhood a hunger and that they will see this church and be willing to come through the doors and meet you in this place. Lord, we just pray for our sister churches in the city that are worshiping as we worshiped here this morning, and we just pray that your presence will be felt, your word will be preached, and that people will seek you. And anybody that doesn't know you as their Savior will seek after you and accept you as their Lord and Savior. So, Lord, we just pray that your word will go out this morning in a mighty way. Lord, we just thank you for the countries in our world that are in war and turmoil. We just pray that you will bring peace and resolution to the conflicts in our world. We just pray that you will bring leaders that can settle issues without fighting. Lord, there's just so much persecution that we don't even know the degree and the magnitude of it. We just know what we need here in the news. But Lord, you know what's happening and you can intervene. So Lord, we just pray for your hand of intervention in these areas in our world that need to be brought to peace and resolution. Lord, we just pray that you will we'll see that you act in a mighty way. And Lord, we just pray that that people that are being persecuted, especially missionaries in countries or churches that can't meet publicly and have to meet in secret, Lord, we just pray that you'll bring freedom and release of bondage in those situations. Lord, we just ask all these things in your precious name as we continue in our service this morning. Amen. So we're going to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. In the one that I have, it's page 301, but I think we have two different publications of Bibles in the pews. 331 in the other one, or 301. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, titled Joshua Installed as Leader. So after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. And now I'm going to call on Eric Jonathan to bring us God's message this morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to be back. I'd like to start with a question. What's the one thing you fear most in life? If you had to choose or describe that one thing, what would it be? Some people are afraid of heights, others of small spaces or spiders or public speaking or clowns. If you're like my mom, you can't even look at snakes. And you scream really, really loud if someone comes up behind you when you're in the kitchen. I remember the first movie I ever saw in the theaters. I was really young, maybe 3 or 4, and my parents decided to take my sister and I to see Spider-Man. You know, the one with Tobey Maguire and James Franco and the Green Goblin. Well, yeah, apparently it was a great movie, but I never saw it. 20 minutes in, this big, green, scary guy came in laughing like a maniac, and despite my parents' comforting promises he was gone, I closed my eyes for the rest of the movie. I was terrified. I've seen it now, but back then it was horrible. Fear just gripped me. I couldn't trust my parents. Even when they said he was gone, I was so scared. I couldn't move. I couldn't think. Fear was just controlling me. And really, that's what fear does to us. It's consuming. It drives us crazy. It controls us. Controls our emotions, the decisions we make. It shapes our attitudes, our relationships. But most importantly, it destroys our trust to God. Today we're looking at the book of Joshua. And the events of Joshua, it follows the Exodus and the 40 years in the wilderness. And we're going to witness the fear that Joshua and the Israelites had. But we're also going to see the promises that God used to comfort them. The first verses of this book, it throws us into this catastrophic event in the eyes of Joshua and Israel. God says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." And this would have sent shockwaves throughout all of Israel. In their hearts, it's creating anguish and fear among God's people. The primary lawgiver, the one who led them out of Egypt, their great liberator and mediator for 40 years, was gone. What are they going to do now? Who's going to take over? Who could dare live up to Moses? What do you think Joshua was feeling in this moment? How could he live up to Moses? Why did God even choose him? How was he going to lead a people who so easily wander from God? You'll see just how easily fear sets in. How quickly it can threaten to influence every decision that you make. There's fear in all of us. Fear of being alone, fear of sickness, fear of aging. Fear is everywhere, and you struggle with it just as much as I do. My friends, the comfort in this passage is that God knows us. He knows us. David starts out Psalm 139 with, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." God understands our struggles. He knows. And today we're going to see the promises that have been laid out in this passage. The promises that are all throughout Scripture that allow us to conquer fear. Today, God's word tells us, "Fear not. Have courage. He is with you." Let's walk through this passage, shall we? Let's see how we can finally fight fear. We'll start with verse 2. "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory." It's really easy to skip over a passage like this, but these verses, even on their own, are remarkable. This is God laying out the promised land. He's delivering, bestowing on Israel their inheritance. It's been a centuries-long journey. This is a promise that's been playing in the minds of the Israelites for generations upon generations. The promise that was given to Abraham, then to Isaac and Jacob, to the slaves in Egypt, to the wandering people in Israel. This is God's promise finally coming to pass. This is huge. But imagine Joshua and the Israelites. They're probably shaking in their sandals right now. They're standing on the banks of the Jordan River, trying to figure out what they're going to do. How will they cross? Where will they cross? How deep is the water? Who's going to go across first? They're probably saying, we have livestock, wooden carts full of possessions, young children, elderly parents. How are they going to get across safely? And even if they do get across, how are we going to conquer a land full of God's enemies? Full of our enemies. Fear begins to set in. Anxiety, worry, doubt, panic, it's all crippling. But here's where we have to cling to the promises of God. The people of Israel, Joshua, must cling to the promise that God will give them this land. But look in verse 3. God, he ties this promise to an action. He says he'll give them all this land. Everything from the wilderness to the setting of the sun will be theirs, but they actually have to place their feet on it. They have to claim this land, step forward in faith. They have to respond to the promise of God. I learned this week that the whole area of this promised land was something like 300,000 square miles. And I can barely picture that, but Ontario is 400,000, if that helps. But of this 300,000, do you know how much Israel actually claimed? 30,000. That's it, a tenth. Of all that God promised them, this huge land, they only subdued and obtained a fraction of his promise. And you see, the promised land, it represents a place of promised rest. It represents this life that can be enjoyed by all believers under the new covenant. A life free from bondage of worry and fear, a life under Jesus. And this abundant life, this new life, it's available to you, but you have to respond. You have to step forward in faith. Embrace it by faith. God has offered you grace and mercy. Jesus has offered himself on the cross. And he's promised that if you believe in him, if you repent and turn from your sin, you'll be washed by his blood and you'll be saved. So this life free of fear, free of sin, it's there waiting for you. Just like the promised land was waiting for Joshua and the Israelites, but you have to step into it. You have to respond to God's call. I'd like to tell you about a story, or this church in Ann Arbor. It's a 2-year-old church plant called Treeline. And their mission is to reach the college students at the University of Michigan. And you have to hear about this place. They're part of a Christian organization called the SALT Network. And they go around planting churches in American college towns and cities. They invest in students from the first time they get into university, discipling them and teaching them how to be genuine followers of Jesus, building from scripture as they learn to do life together. And as students enter their fourth year, they start to ask them some questions. They say, God has done so much in your life. You've been blessed with so much. How are you going to respond? What are you going to do for God? So these students, they leave everything. uproot their whole lives, the only lives they've ever known. Leave their fathers, their mothers, their homes. They move across the country, embracing the call and the promise that God will supply their needs. And they go and help plant a church in another state. Plant a church just like the one that brought them to salvation. Most have just finished school. They don't have jobs. They don't have money. They live in apartments together while they can find work. But their one goal is to plant this church, to win more and more people to Christ in Ann Arbor. And these people aren't special. But there's an unimaginable amount of fear that stops us from doing stuff like this. A million different reasons of why it's not wise, why someone else is better suited. But often the only real, true reason is fear. The difference between them and us is that they didn't let this fear control them. They stepped forward in faith. They understood the Great Commission and the need for God's people to spread Jesus to everyone. They embraced the call, embraced the promises of God. And today, God may be calling you to respond to his promises, to overcome your fear, to step out in faith and trust him. Jesus told his disciples on right before his ascension, Matthew 28:18, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I will be with you always, to the end of the age." God, he wants us to live like this. And he's promised that he will be with us always. Don't let fear stop you from what God has called you to do. Embrace his promises and walk in them by faith. Verses 5 and 6, let's look there. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." We've seen how fear can almost consume us. We've seen the urgent need for us to embrace the promises of God, but we can't embrace something if we don't trust it. So that's what God says. He says, "Fear not, trust my promises." And this is what God says to Joshua, and it's what he has to say to us today. He says, "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Trust in my promises. Trust in me." And I believe that Joshua was terrified. Think about it. He's been given the responsibility to lead over a million people. He has to take over from Moses, the one who led them out of Egypt, who delivered the Ten Commandments, who communed face to face with God, who wrote most of the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. Joshua probably has no idea what to do. He has to claim this land and conquer all of its enemies, but how? He has to lead a people who wander from God so easily, but how? I'd be terrified, wouldn't you? Fear just builds in us. It grows and grows, causing you to lose trust in God. And we know we should trust God. How can we not? He's never failed. But it's still not easy, right? Sometimes I feel like I only trust God for the things that I can already see. But the beauty of this passage is that God, he doesn't tell Joshua to just deal with it. He doesn't command him to just suck it up. He tells him how he can have courage. He shows him why he can have courage. He says, I will not leave you or forsake you. He assures him of his presence. He says, no man will be able to stand before you. No man will tower over your defeat. I am with you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8. He tells Joshua, you will have victory over them all. You will be the reason these people enter their inheritance. I will fulfill my promise through you. I will never leave. I will never forsake. That's a God we can trust. That's a God we can place our faith in. It's the same God who says in Isaiah, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What an amazing God, amen? What kind of God runs to his children, takes them in his arms, and says, child, don't fear. I am with you. I will never leave. Isn't that a God we want to trust? David said in Psalm 56, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Fear not. Trust his promises. Better yet, trust the one who made those promises. God said through this whole passage, fear not. Respond to my promises. Trust my promises. Now he says, know my promises. You can't respond to something you don't trust, and you can't trust something you don't know. So let's read this last section together, verse 7 to 9. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Only be strong and very courageous. When the Lord repeats something, it's important. For instance, when he calls out to from the burning bush to Moses. Moses, Moses, remove the sandals from your feet, for the ground you are standing is holy. Or when he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But here in Joshua, he said, be strong and courageous, not once, not twice, but three separate times. It means it's even more vital to your life. It's even more important, so don't miss it. Why did he say it so much? It's because he knows us. He knows that on the outside we put up this big show of strength. But on the inside we're nothing but. We're fearful and weak.
He doesn't want us to be controlled by our fear. He wants us to respond to his promises. He wants us to trust in his promises. But now, as we said, he wants us to know them. He reminds all of Israel, not just Joshua, be careful. Keep my commandments. Don't turn from them to the left or the right. Don't get distracted. Keep your eyes focused on the goal. Meditate on the law. Ponder it. Contemplate it. Rehearse the old truths for a new day of struggles. It reminds me of a cow chewing its cud. The cow, it tosses the grass over and over in its mouth. It swallows it, then breaks it down, and then it regurgitates it to chew on it some more. Break it down some more. Extracting all of the nutrients and fibers from the grass. And one commentator says, the word of God is not to be an emergency ration for a crisis moment. It is to be a constant source of nutrition for one's mind. Give us today our daily bread. It's the true essence of Psalm 1:2. It says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Whenever you open your mouth to speak, it should be filled with the word of God. The fragrance of his love and his deeds should just flow out of us. And if we look in verse 7, we see that the secret to success lies in this book. Not financial success, but spiritual success. The way to grow in our walk. The way to battle sin. The way to conquer fear. The way to succeed in this Christian life is to know the word of God. And unlike Israel at this time, we don't just have the first five books of the Bible. We have 61 other books. 61 other books filled with his commandments, filled with his glory and power. It's bursting with his mercy and kindness. This is the way to know God. This is the way to know what he's about and what he's done. David, knowing this in Psalm 34, he said, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. How can we expect to conquer fear? How can we be not dismayed if we don't really know the word of God? If we don't even really know God? Fear, it's something we often don't talk about. Maybe you fear failure or rejection. Maybe you're too afraid to share the gospel with your friends or your coworkers. Every time you get a chance, you let it pass you by. You know these are crucial moments in their lives, but you can't because you're gripped by fear. Maybe it's commitment. You're too afraid to give God everything, to submit so fully that there's nothing left to hide. Because now there's no excuse. There's no one left to blame for your sin except for yourself, and that's scary. Fears of disappointing God, fears of not being enough. We fear that we're just one sin away from God giving up on us. From one sin away from not being forgiven. Or he counts us as a lost cause. But friends, this is where we need to cling to the promises of God. Hold on to them with a white-knuckled grip. He's given us so many to find strength and courage in. The promise of comfort. 2 Corinthians 1. The Father of mercies and God of all comfort who comforts us in all our affliction. the promise of strength. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. He's promised to lead us. He's promised to guide us. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths, Proverbs says. He's promised us rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Most importantly, from the first sin in the garden till eternity past, he's promised us Jesus. He's promised that he would come. He's promised that he would live the perfect life, die the perfect death, that finally sin would lose its power and death would lose its sting. He's promised peace and hope, joy and salvation to all who trust in him. These are the promises we can hold on to. These and so many more, we just need to take the time to know them, to trust in them, and respond. This passage ends with verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the command of God. Fear not. It's his desire for our lives. Let it bring you strength and courage as we all learn to cling to his promises. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we're able to just receive it and to understand it. Forgive us for the times where we don't trust in you, where we're not in our word, we're not praying, we're not reading. We don't know the things you promised us, so how can we trust in them? And if we haven't trusted, how can we respond? So much of our lives are controlled by the news, by what our friends say, or search for jobs, or search for relationships. So much of it is controlled by fear. And we want to just give that all to you. We want to just trust you and trust your promises that you've given us. Trust that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to look to Jesus for our strength, our hope, our courage, and help him to be everything that we need. In his name I pray. Amen.